Para, O Supreme, Durachaya, insurmountable or very difficult to cross. Vaitaranyaha, are the Vaitarani, the river of the material world. Tvatvirya, of your lordship's glories and activities. Gayana, from chanting or distributing. Mahamrita, in the great ocean of nectarian spiritual bliss. Magna Chittaha, whose consciousness is absorbed. Shoche, I am simply lamenting. Tataha, from that. Vimukha Chetasaha, the fools and rascals who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. Indriya Artha, in sense gratification. Maya Sukhaya, for temporary illusory happiness. Bharam, the false burden or responsibility of maintaining one's family, society and nation, and elaborate arrangements for that purpose. Udvahataha, who are lifting by making grand plans for this arrangement. Vimudan, although all of them are nothing but fools and rascals, I am thinking of them also. So translation, O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they've all been described herein as vimudha, fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhaliyam, ashashvatam, temporary and miserable. But those fools are trying to turn the material world into sukhaliyam, a place of happiness. Not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of the material nature which works in her own way. So, prakrute kriyamanani kunai karvani sarvashaha. Hankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, text 27. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature. But at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. There's a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, text 14, Daiva Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dratyaya. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. The same word, Dratyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy, whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental love because of his being Krishna conscious, yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Important verse. Naivo dvije paradurajaya vaitaranjas twat viryagayana mahamrita magna chittaha shucetato vimukha chetasahindriyarta moyo sukaya paramahudvahato vimutan. So, Om Meghanath Timananda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurna Miditam Yena Tadmai Shikurave Namaha. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us six symptoms of surrender, one of which is being exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj here. These six symptoms are: one, to accept everything favorable for Krishna consciousness; two, reject everything unfavorable for Krishna consciousness; three, to understand that the Lord is always protecting one. That's what's being described here. And also, the next one is to understand the Lord is always maintaining one, to be dependent on the Lord for one's maintenance. And then, to have no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord. And finally, the most difficult one is to always be meek and humble. That's the most difficult of all the six. So Prahlad Maharaj is showing his exalted position in terms of these six symptoms of surrender of a pure devotee. And he's also showing, as described in the Bhagavatam, in the story of Chitraketu, who becomes a demon, Vritrasura, and then later on he's cursed by Parvati to become a demon, actually. And the interesting verses spoken by Lord Shiva: Narayana Parak Sarve No Katasjana Bibhiti Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apitu Yarta Darshana, which is actually a wonderful verse, one of the most important verses. Narayana Parayana, those who are pure devotees of the Lord, Nakutasjana Bibhiti, that they don't see any difference between going to heaven, going to hell, or getting liberated. Narayana Paraksarve, Nakutasjana Bibhiti, Swarga Apavarga, Narakeshu. Apavarga means liberation, and Narakeshu means going to hell. Apitulyartha Darshana, they see all these things equally. Why do they see all these things equally? Because they are absorbed in Krishna's service. They're doing the same thing wherever they go. Prabhupada gave the example of a wheat threshing machine. Of course, you don't grow wheat here in Fiji because it's too hot. But in India, they grow a lot of wheat. And especially in Punjab, they grow wheat. And there's a machine called the wheat threshing machine that actually takes the wheat berries out of the wheat plants. Anyway, it's a big machine. And Prabhupada said, if you have a wheat threshing machine, or let's use something more common, if you have a chapati machine, a roti machine, because you're all attached to rotis here. If you don't get rotis, you get depressed, angry. Angry, you have a revolution. I mean, it's just like, it's hard for me to understand. Anyway, so let's say you have a roti machine. And if you take that roti machine back to the spiritual world, what is it going to do? It's not going to chant Hare Krishna. It's going to make rotis. And if you put it in heaven, it's going to make rotis. And if you put it in hell, it's going to make rotis. I probably use the example of the wheat threshing machine, but I'm trying to give you a more common example that you would all understand. So, in other words, you take a devotee, heaven, hell, and he's doing the same thing. He's preaching Krishna consciousness. Like Prahlad Maharaj states here, I'm concerned with love for all the living entities. So wherever he is, he's trying to preach. Sometimes the Christians, they come to us and threaten us with going to hell. Anyone who's dealt with a Christian knows what I'm talking about. They come and they say, do you accept Lord Jesus Christ? Of course I say yes. And they said, but why are you dressed like that? And you're following Satan or something like that. And then they say, don't you understand, you're going to hell. And instead of arguing with them, I said, well, that's nice. Because you can preach nicely there. You know, in Fiji, it's kind of hard to preach because everyone's enjoying life, the sun and the avocados and the mangoes and bananas and everything like that. It's an easy life, isn't it? Yeah. Like Fiji is full of what Prabhupada called lazy men. You know, yesterday I told the story about the lazy man. There was a king one time. He said, we'll only feed lazy men. And the way he tested to see if people were lazy, he had a house where he had all these people who said that they were lazy, and he burnt the house down, and only two people stayed in the house. And one of the men who stayed in the house said, it's hot in here, and the other one said, just turn over. And so the king agreed to feed them. So anyway, so in Fiji, it's a little more difficult to make people surrender to Krishna. Yeah, you can make people join the movement because it's part of the culture, especially with the Indians. I mean, it's very easy, you know, Hare Krishna. But to actually surrender, very difficult. I mean, I've just seen so many devotees or people join the movement, and how many are actually surrendered? I mean, surrendered means basically to lose hope that there's material enjoyment, like it's described here. That's intelligence. But, you know, I find many people join the movement and they still think, wow, there's some hope of material enjoyment. Well, we'll just do this Hare Krishna thing. Maybe it'll help my material enjoyment. You know, because we get rotis in the morning. You know, it's better. I don't have to cook myself. You know, so it helps the material enjoyment even more. I've got some nice music, you know, bouncing on the drums. Picnics and everything like that. Wow, get more material enjoyment. But actually, to become Krishna conscious, you have to give up all hope and material enjoyment in this material world. You have to just think, it's hopeless. And it is. I mean, it's not just something that's a mental concoction. But when it's very heavenly out, like here, it's very hard to come to that conclusion until you die. Then you're on your deathbed. What is that called? Smarshana Vairagya. Smarshana Vairagya means the renunciation that occurs in the crematorium. You know the crematorium? Just like I was watching a video of someone in the crematorium. Anyway, it was interesting. I was in Lotoka visiting some devotees, and they had taken a video of the funeral and a video of the crematorium, even the burning and everything. And watching this, everyone was just going, oh, Krishna, we have to surrender to you. Ram Nam Sache, Ram Nam Sache. And the only time they just take shelter of Ram is during the funeral. After that, even if you got Ram Nomi, they're not taking shelter of Ram. They're just going to, I mean, we've got driven past in the evening some Ram Nomi celebrations. The women are in there. They're more religious. And the men are outside waiting for it to end so they can drink the kava. Right? So smarshan of Vairagya means the renunciation of the crematorium, obviously. You know, you're thinking, oh, this life is temporary. Let's read the Bhagavad Gita for the first time in 20 years because we're at the crematorium. Hare Krishna, Maharaj, we take shelter of you. Instruct us in Krishna consciousness. But then 2 weeks later, all hell breaks loose. You know, you don't really give a damn. So the point is that Krishna arranges certain circumstances to make life miserable, such as death, old age, disease. And this is the arrangement, as Prabhupada states in the purport, of Durga. Durga, the word Durga means to move with difficulty. Literally, that's the etymological significance of that word. Etymological means, you know, the actual linguistic understanding of that word. Dur means difficult. Ga means to go. So she's the warden of the prison. It's like you have a prison, many prisons here in Fiji. And there's a warden, but you can't escape during this prison. She doesn't need like a high fence and guard towers and everything like that. It's like you see the prison here, Suva prison. They have a high fence and, you know, barbed wires, and guards and everything like that. She doesn't need that. She's much more sophisticated. She has handsome men and beautiful women. That's more efficient, isn't it? You don't need guns. You don't need anything like that. It's just like, you know, some lady comes to the men and goes like that. Okay. I surrender. And the man comes and flexes his muscles. And the woman says, I'm in love. And then you watch a Bollywood movie, and the Bollywood movie is Durga Shakti. Right? And you think, oh, this is, and you watch the serials, you know, the TV serials like that. And so Durga's very efficient in keeping you here in the material world. She doesn't need to put a gun to your head. You're volunteering, like that story that Prabhupada told about the sage who was asked by the king, you know, why is Maya so strong? And then the sage, instead of saying anything, walked up to the pillar in the palace and embraced the pillar and said, let me go, let me go. So that's how Durga keeps us here in the material world, through attraction. And we're so foolish. But anyway, getting to the point is that we're talking about going to hell. So in hell, people are suffering, and they realize it, and it's a really good place for preaching. So that's why I would say to a Christian, I don't mind going to hell. Because in hell, we have no bad karma. We're chanting Hare Krishna. What do we have to worry about? And heaven, we can go to too. They probably have some nice mangoes and daruga and jackfruit there. I mean, Fiji is like heaven. Like Prabhupada said, as far as heaven in this world, earthly planet, he said Hawaii is the, if there's any nice place in the material world, it's Hawaii. And Prabhupada spent a lot of time there writing and doing Vaishnava literatures like this. Narayana Puraksa Vaina Kutasthina Vibhuti. So a devotee doesn't really mind. And not in addition to doing the same thing wherever he's going, especially preaching, serving, he has his internal life. Because along with what you see with a pure devotee, there's something going on internally that you don't see. And what is that internal thing that's going on? He's interacting, he or she, is interacting with Krishna in terms of his eternal ras, taste, of the rati, or the relationship in the spiritual world. And sometimes it becomes very obvious that that's what's happening. I mean, there's this one example of this great Acharya, Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya used to have this internal life, and sometimes he would even bring things back from the internal life to the external world. Could you imagine? You see Gurudev sitting there. He opens his eyes, and all of a sudden a garland or a mala comes from the spiritual world. Wow. I mean, that's something unusual. Even there's one story about Srinivasacharya. He was meditating and on his internal life, and he didn't open his eyes or take any water or take any food for several days. And his wife was very upset. She was thinking, you know, what's happening with my husband? Is he going to die? And then all of a sudden, she called for his disciple, Ramchandra Kaviraj, and she said, just see what, try to figure out what's happening with your guru. So the disciple sat down next to his guru, went into meditation, and entered into the same pastime. What they were doing was looking for Radharani's anklet or toe ring or something that had fallen into the Jamuna River. And so both of the disciple and the spiritual master, in their siddha dehas, spiritual bodies, and we all have a spiritual body. Right now, the spiritual body is covered up by the gross body and the subtle body. It's really covered. And so, of course, the process of chanting is Cheto Dharpa Namarja. You know, you uncover the subtle body. You uncover the soul. You get rid of the dirt in the heart. So, they were both engaged in their spiritual bodies in the same pastime. They both had female bodies. They were gopis. Of course, serving Radharani directly, you have to be a gopi. I mean, that's just life. And then they finally found the ring, and they both came back from these meditation together, you know, to external consciousness. And then they embraced each other. And so this is a devotee's life. We don't see that. We don't see that, but a devotee has this internal life going. And of course, it is also our duty to develop this internal life. Not prematurely, of course. Nobody should think of themselves as gopis or anything. But that's part of the process. I mean, internal life doesn't start with thinking of yourself in terms of, you know, your siddha deha. It starts thinking of yourself as a servant of Krishna, servant of your spiritual master, servant of Srila Prabhupada's movement, and praying. These are all internal things. You know, internal. Krishna consciousness is meant to be internal. Here in Fiji, especially many times in the Indian culture, everything's very ritualistic. You know, you do your different rituals, but you're not thinking of what you're doing when you're doing it. You're just doing it like you put yourself on automatic. Like nowadays, I don't know if you've read about this in the news, but the latest technological thing they've come out with is self-driving cars. You heard about this? Anyone heard about this before? So that Google and other companies, you don't know about these things. No, that's good. Your life is wasted because you don't know that. 100% wasted. Anyway, so we have in Krishna consciousness is self, let's say, automatic bhaktas who do their devotional service while their mind is somewhere else. Because in these self-driving cars, what people do is, you know, they just sit back and then they watch TV or something. The driver, some of them don't even have steering wheels. Everything's just like, all right, so they sit back, relax, go to sleep while the car is driving through the street. Because in Fiji, they can never have that. Because the houses don't have numbers, the streets don't have names. I mean, it's the craziest country in the world because of that. You know, when you have to get somewhere, they say, well, turn at the church. And you'll see a palm tree standing there. And that's my house. Because I put on my GPS, which I have on the phone. He said, can I use the GPS to figure out where we're going? He said, no, it doesn't work in Fiji. So getting back to the point. So we put ourselves on automatic, and we're just doing our service. But we're not cultivating this internal thing. Actually, it's very important to hear regularly to cultivate the internal thing. Very, very important. If you don't hear regularly, then you're just doing nimagraha. In other words, just doing it without knowing what you're doing, just putting yourself on automatic, and you're making very little spiritual benefit. Of course, you're doing something, obviously, yata sukriti and all that other nice stuff. But we have to really be giving our hearts to Krishna. And when we give our hearts to Krishna, as described here by Prahlad Maharaj, I am not afraid of material existence. Then, avaya sattva samsudhi, jnana yoga vyavastitehi. This is Krishna's description in the Bhagavad Gita, of course. That one becomes free of fear in this material world. Because jnana yoga vyavastitehi. What is that? Because he's studying Prabhupada's books. That's really the point. Jnana. Jnana. Someone may say, well, I don't need jnana, I just need bhakti. But you do need jnana. You need sambandha jnana, abhideya jnana. Prayojana, you can wait a little while about that. But you need that. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to distinguish between sahaja, something cheap. You're not going to be able to distinguish between the real Krishna consciousness, materialism. You're going to think chanting Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari is pure bhakti. Such an Orion Kata, you're going to think it's bhakti. It's not bhakti. It's karma misra bhakti. It's not. You're not even a Vaishnava. You're a Vaishnava praya. You're almost a Vaishnava if you're doing these things. So, anyway, therefore, studying. So one becomes so free from fear, just like Prahlad Maharaj, that you could be confronted with all the things Prahlad Maharaj was confronted with and never get scared. He was never scared. Or like there's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Gadadhar Das. It's not Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, but Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das wanted to preach Krishna consciousness even to the Muslims. That can be a little dangerous. I mean, here it's not so dangerous. But in certain countries, like you hear like nowadays with the Boko Haram and the ISIS, can you imagine, like, if you went, that would take real courage to go to Afghanistan. I'm not saying you should do it. You'd probably be stupid also, but anyway. But to go to the ISIS, ISIL, so you've heard of these things? Anyway, they have these people who are just killing anyone of a different religion. What?
The Islamic State.
Yeah, the Islamic State. That's called ISIS. So, and just boldly say to them, chat Hare Krishna. That takes a lot of courage. And so the scenario in India when Lord Chaitanya was present was very similar. You had people like Aurangzeb, of course he was later than Lord Chaitanya, but you had people like that when Lord Chaitanya was present, who would go through the villages and just kill people or forcibly convert people. It was something like that. So, all right, so Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, he wanted to preach to the Qazi, not only to the Muslims, he wanted to preach to the head Muslim, really heavy guy. And so he just pushes his way in the middle of the night, or in the early evening, into the Qazi's house and says, I want to speak to the Qazi. He just like pushes his way. I got to speak to him. And the Qazi just like wakes up, rubs his eyes, and he says, what do you want? Finally he gets in, they don't kill him. And he says, I want you to chant Hare Krishna. And then the Qazi, he says, all right, come on, let me go back to sleep. Tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna. And then the Gadadhar Das starts dancing and chanting. You're already chanting. Haribol! So That is courage. That is courage. And of course, Prabhupada's name is also connected with courage. Abhaya Chandanada Vinda. That means one who has become free of fear because he's taken shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. And so Prabhupada did something that none of his godbrothers had the courage to do. Even though they had the order of their spiritual master, none of his godbrothers had the courage to hop on a boat, go to a strange country with no money, with not knowing anybody. Of course, probably had some contact, but not really devotees or anything like that. And that was courageous at an old age. Old age doing such a thing. Abhaya Sattva Sham Shuddhi Jnana Yoga Vivasati. Because he had faith. Actually, that's really the point. Jnana Yoga Vivasati means he has faith. So he had faith in the order of the spiritual master, that the order of the spiritual master contains within it the success potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he knew, Krishna's protecting me, Krishna's maintaining me. And he had no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord. And Prabhupada was certainly humble in relationship to accepting the order of his spiritual master as the all in all. And so Prabhupada epitomized these six qualities of surrender completely. So how do we become free from fear? I mean, because the material world is a very fearful place. And the way we become free from fear is that we actually understand, study Srila Prabhupada's books, associate with advanced devotees, and then we can come to the same point. And then later on, when we're free from fear, then we begin to love all living entities, as Prahlad Maharaj says here. I'm simply concerned with love for them. Because we love Krishna, trust Krishna. Therefore, everyone is connected to Krishna. Yastu sarvani bhutani yatmane vanupashati. Sarvabhuteshu chatmanam tatona vigigupshate. Because they're all part of our family. Instead of this tiny family, or probably called it skin disease. You know what skin disease is? Skin disease means we think that people have the same skin as us, or the same family. Like it's talked about in the purport here. That, you know, we're just like concerned with our family, our people, mine. Then we start to understand that we're all part of the same family. Not only the just the human beings, but all of God's creatures. And even in the Bible, even talks about that. In the spiritual world, it says the lion will lay down with the lamb. You know, in other words, all the living entities, they're all connected to God. They're all dear to God. And so when we see like that, then real compassion and love arises. And then we will pray. We will feel like Prahlad Maharaj, simply be concerned with love for everyone, like Srila Prabhupada also manifested that. I've seen Prabhupada having a loving mood towards an insect. I mean, there's a story where there was an insect crawling on one of Prabhupada's garlands or a flower. And Prabhupada said, put him outside, he's hungry. You know, so even for a little insect. But we are so much on the bodily platform. You know, we're chauvinists or racists or humanists. Even a humanist is a bad thing. We're so much on the bodily platform. So we have to get off that platform. And that happens by chanting and loving Krishna and seeing everyone's connection with Krishna. So, on that happy note, any questions, quick questions or comments? Yes.
Just like you told us about this, but in that process,
yeah.
Part of the shikshashtaka and the offenses.
What part of the shikshashtaka and the offenses? The shikshashtaka, the different verses of the shikshashtaka are different levels of surrender. I mean, it can be analyzed in terms of the progress in devotional service, beginning with Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriya. In other words, different levels of devotional service up to the final verse, the Shikshashtika, where you're ready. For Krishna can do anything he wants, and I'm surrendered. You know, so that's Shikshashtika, and of course, surrender to the holy names, you know, follow the, avoid the offenses on chanting. It's all part of surrender. Part of surrender, if you want to surrender to Krishna, you have to surrender to what Krishna wants you to do, or how Krishna wants you to do things. So without understanding Krishna's directions, you can't surrender. You just say, then it's just a sentimental thing. I surrender to you, Gurudev. Well, will you do this? No, I love you, Gurudev. It's like, you know, it's like a husband saying to his wife, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then she says, get to work and make some money so I can buy a new sari. No, I'm too busy loving you. I just want to see your picture all day, Gurudev. Touch your feet. Oh, your feet are so sweet, Gurudev. And your mouth, that's okay. But I just like the feet. You know why they like the feet? Because the feet don't talk. Yeah, isn't it? If the feet could talk, you wouldn't like his feet anymore. All right. On that happy note, I'll be a little humorous. All glories to His divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda.